The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 189. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up, what up?
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, everybody.
Adam Vail.
Yo, people.
Brian Munjoma.
Just in time, people.
And we got a very special guest for us, Miss Dana Abercrombie.
Ew, hi.
We needed to have like applause for you, like, ah, like we used to back in the day, you know? Brian, that was the illest intro ever, son. You came in right there, son. That shit is crazy.
I just do that. It's like a British thing, you know? I just do that.
Yeah, I was going to be very upset if you weren't on this episode.
They have impeccable timing. Have you not seen the giant clock?
Yeah, that is true. You can't be late over there, you know. Before we start, Dane, I want to thank you for being on the shows last week. Very, very good stuff. I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely.
I thank you for having me. It was delightful.
I was going to say something, but I shouldn't say it on air. But it relates to what we talked about beforehand. I'm guessing you had a very good and relaxing time on our show.
It was just so much fun. Fun and professional and enjoyable.
All right, people. So I just realized something before we started. We're not going to have any like alterations to the schedule for the rest of the year. Normally we would during Comic-Con, but that's not happening this year. Carlos could take over. So we're straight until like the end of December. We are straight Thursday, Sunday. That is it, man. You know how we do on Throwdown, man. Crazy.
Sweet. Cash.
Straight cash. All right, so I'm going to jump right into it, man. So our first story here, this one happened during E3, but since it wasn't E3 related, we didn't cover it, but now we're going to cover it, and something new actually happened today, so it's relevant to it all, right? So basically, Nintendo and Microsoft are actually taking jabs at Sony over the whole crossplay thing. So basically, they announced how you could actually play Minecraft on the Xbox and Switch simultaneously and stuff, you know. And the whole advertising, it wasn't really about, like on the surface, it was obviously like, hey, we could play together, but it's really like, hey, you know who we can't play with? Wink, 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 you know. And I want to, you know, get you guys' thoughts on that and the whole, like, drama that's going on with the whole crossplay thing. Very interesting. I think tonight we're going to live up to our name of Throwdown. I could tell you that right now. Just based off what I saw you guys saying in the private chat, I'm like, yeah, I don't really agree with what the majority of the Throwdown is saying here, but we're going to get into it. But I'm going to start off with Brian, actually, man. What do you think about this whole craziness that's going on?
I think it's all fair for what people are saying, to be honest. Because again, the thing that I have the problem with is that Sony has every right to do what they want with their platform. That's fair. It's their platform. They made it. They can control whatever the hell they want. However, the problem is that it's not like the Epic accounts are not theirs to control. The Epic accounts belong to Epic and Epic accounts. So for them to have the arrogance and the hue to say that once the Epic accounts are synced with a PlayStation Network account, then it can't be unsynced and connected to other accounts and allowed to play on other platforms, then that's when I think that Sony have overstepped the mark. Because then they are limiting what people can do with their own with their accounts that Sony have nothing to do with. And I think that's just blatantly just overstepping the mark, and that's wrong.
All right, guys, jump in, man.
That's literally what I think. And Sony should just have no right doing that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. And also, that's like one facet of the conversation. Another one is in regards to sort of crossplay and how Microsoft and Nintendo are sort of taking shots at Sony for not sort of playing game with them, and sort of them living in an ivory tower at the moment. And I think it's fair. It's criticism, kind of like what Sony did in E3, where they took jabs at Microsoft for not being able to share games after that E3 press conference. And it's like, ooh, that's a huge shot. Well, this is sort of the equivalent on the other side. It's something that we should always hold companies' feet to the fire when it comes to stuff that we think should be available to the consumer base. Not saying that, like I'm not going to take it as far as what fanboys are doing, saying that they should boycott Sony or anything. I'm definitely not going to do that. But when it comes to criticizing Sony for them not playing along with everyone else, then I'm going to criticize them. I'm going to tell them, hey, you need to, like, this is something that you should do because it's better for everyone. So that's kind of my line of thinking. Obviously, I also agree with Brian's, which is another facet of that whole thing, but both sides is where I'm coming from.
I agree with Brian with the assessment of that. Yes, you know, as far as the account, you know, you shouldn't be able to lock that account because that's something that's directly being sent to somebody like Epic. So, you know, it's like what most of the companies did. You know, like if you Rockstar, you had a game like L.A. Noire and you had the Rockstar account on whatever console it was on, it would still log in on there. It should still be able to do that sort of stuff. But at the same time, you know, as far as this crossplay situation, I don't see any difference from this talk about it as I saw years ago when Xbox was top dog and Sony said, hey, yeah, we're game to do cross-platform play. So the thing is, I think in general, the only reason why anybody is even talking about this, well, why Microsoft has probably even given this any sort of friggin' thought, is because they don't got a lot going on right now. So they're like, all right, whatever. You know,
yeah, and I mean, Microsoft last generation definitely.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was also going to say, not to mention, who's to say that Nintendo was going to be even game to do this when they have been notoriously, anti Sony in general. Chris can tell you some friggin' stories. I mean, they were so friggin' petty that they wouldn't even get Sony televisions. When Microsoft was supposedly there, you know, was directly, you know, as far as considered competition, they wouldn't even bother using PCs. He had to literally go in there and be like, hey, we need to start developing these things on PCs instead of Macs. And that's how petty they used to be. So who's to even say that this would even work if Sony said, yeah, sure, then maybe Nintendo might go, no way.
Yeah, yeah, that's a factor I'm going to bring up today because people are kind of forgetting the rivalry between the two. But Dana, getting here, what's your take on this whole situation?
I think it all comes down to money. It's simple as that. I think that Sony, in their mind, they don't want to give Xbox any type of recognition or any type of, you know, the people to run over and to purchase, you know, the game on Xbox or any other platform. So for me, this thing all just comes down to money. And I think it's silly. Yes, it is. As you know, fan of Sony or even Xbox, and just in general, I do think that it's silly. But for them, it's money, and I don't understand why. But aside from the money thing, it's kind of silly. And anyone remember back in 2014? Remember they had the excuse about the players. They were saying that the players would feel less safe. So I don't know if they are trying to push that out again as an excuse. But for me, I just solely see this as a money decision. They're going to just, you know, people are flocking to Nintendo Switch. I feel that it's probably going to outsell Sony eventually or PlayStation. So they just don't want to give them that edge.
Yeah. Brett, get in here.
I kind of said it before and I'll say it again. Like, I just feel like Microsoft and Nintendo are leveraging an issue that's been important with consumers for a while, and Sony is once again showing a whole lot of hubris by not really wanting to participate. I get why they don't want to, and as a lot of people have said it's their platform. They can do whatever they want. But that attitude of it's our platform, we can do whatever we want, has not really served them well in years past. And they did happen to gain a lot of ground on Microsoft this last generation. But it was only because Microsoft left themselves open to a devastating shot, and that hurt Microsoft, and it's continued to hurt them. And I fail to see why Sony doesn't see themselves, or doesn't see that they're setting themselves up for the same thing. This kind of attitude is going to be remembered when the next generation comes around, and it's not that far off. It's, as we've kind of talked about, it's a few years at most. Gamers remember this kind of shit, and they're quickly losing their connection to gamers, and, you know, in terms of their message, they're still delivering great content, and that's going to be something that helps them in the long run. But gamers, more than any other group that I know, really care about how they're being talked to and the message that's being given to them. We're a very vocal consumer base, and I think that attitude is going to have a lot to do with it next go around. So
I disagree with what you just said for one reason. You said that gamers or remember things, right? As I said, you and everybody in this room just forgot what the fuck I just said. Last generation.
I didn't forget.
Last generation. No, nobody forgot. This same situation was said. And what makes this any different from the last time? The only difference now is that someone actually took them up on doing it.
Yeah, I mean the situation is not different. Both of them are acting like have done that in the past, but it doesn't mean just because one of them did it, we shouldn't criticize the other for doing it. No, criticizing both.
I mean, here's the thing. Yes, under any circumstance, we've been saying this even as long as this show has been on. It makes absolutely no sense that no console, you know, you can't connect to other console players, because obviously, in general, most of these companies really want to collect their cash. You know, they got their subscription services and all that other stuff. You know, when you go, let's see, you know, also the other part of it was like, you know, when they were talking about cheaters on PC and all kinds of other kind of crazy shit. So I don't know. Maybe Sony doesn't want to open it up for specific reasons. Maybe they're holding it closer to the chest because of what happened to them when they got hacked.
But that doesn't work anymore. The problem is we don't live in a world of facts and reason anymore. We live in a world of narratives, like a high school popularity contest. And what Microsoft and Sony have done here is they've made it look like – or Microsoft and Nintendo have done here is they've made it look like Sony is the bad guy. It doesn't matter if Sony or Nintendo actually wants to play ball with Sony. All that matters is they're presenting an image – where, oh, Sony's the one that's stopping unification across all platforms. Now, Sony could try and push against that message, but they would have to actually say, you know what, we're open to it, and then leave Nintendo holding the bag. When Nintendo goes, never mind, then that makes Nintendo look like the bad guy, but they're not going to do that, and that prevails, makes the narrative more pervasive of that Sony doesn't care, that Sony... is the one holding this whole thing back.
But they've never said anything. I mean, have they said, I haven't read everything about this, but have they said that they're specifically locking these things, or is it something that has come from...
They made a statement saying that people on the PlayStation, and they're already on multiple platforms like the iPhone and Android and stuff, so they're like, yo, that's enough. What else do you want?
Yeah, they're not contrasting the narrative, and that's really what matters here. There's bad press going, and they're not pushing against it.
And it doesn't help Sony that the game that everyone like this is happening on is the biggest game of the generation.
Yeah, but I also think the reason it's gotten to this point is because it's the biggest game out there. Nobody, again, you know, and I'm just gonna jump in right now. Adam, you go first, and I gotta sound off on this shit.
This was an issue before with Rocket League. This was the issue before with Minecraft. You know, it's just that Fortnite is the big hot game right now, and it's special, and people are being very vocal about it. So that's why it's becoming a big issue. But man, I just hope that Sony doesn't fall back into the cocky Sony that we remember of, like, yo, just get a second job. You know, fine, they have the lead, they know they have the lead, and they have to also understand that the times have changed. You know, just play nice. We're not saying crossplay. Most people don't even give a shit about crossplay. They just don't want to have to rebuy shit. Just release the account. Like, you know what? We don't even own this fucking game. You're right. So you could unsubscribe, unlink your account. That's it. That's all people are really asking for. No one's really banging the door. I want to play with my PlayStation. No one gives a shit about
no,
that.
No, if you go on Twitter, that's yeah. all yeah, these people are talking about.
They can say it, but it's bullshit. They can say it because it's bullshit. Because yeah. there's no way you can find them. That system isn't integrated yet. So even if that was there, like it is in Rocket League stuff, you still can't find people on Xbox. They're just there. You might as well be playing with bots then. You know, it's really up to the content. You want all the shit, your progress for your profile to carry over, to know that, hey, I'm playing this on the go, and then when I go home and I log into my PS4, the shit sinks. And it's just there, so I'm not wasting my time. That's what they really want. Just release it. I don't see that being an issue. Just fucking unlink the account. Give the ability to unlink.
Yeah, my thing is, you know, because again, there are two components to this. I completely agree with what you guys are saying with regards to the account. It's like, Sony, you don't own this fucking game, dude. It's like unlock the shit, you know? It's like, you should be able to do whatever you want with it, right? But the whole, and the narrative I've seen, like 10% of the people I'm seeing, and again, my view may be a little skewed here because I mostly am just watching the Twitter drama, but most people aren't even talking about the account thing. They want crossplay. And again, I find it funny that last generation, when Sony actually wanted crossplay with Xbox, they said no, and people just seem to have forgotten about that, right? So are we going to see this when Call of Duty comes out? Are we going to see this when Battlefield comes out? Are we going to see this when any multiplayer comes out? I just kind of find the hypocrisy really interesting here, right? And let's just be real here, right? Because, you know, obviously, you know, people are gamers. They're talking about their own experience. We got to look at the company stance. It's like, what does Sony get out of this, right? They have 80 million or so console out there. They have more consoles than Xbox and Switch combined, right? They don't need to play nice with anybody right now. You know what I'm saying? Well, let me finish one more. I let all you guys finish. Let me finish, right? They have absolutely no incentive to, you know, play nice with anybody because they have most of the players anyway. So the whole crossplay thing, like, we demand crossplay. It just falls on like deaf ears. It just seems really, really hollow. Like the account thing, I'm totally with you. That shit does not belong to Sony. The fucking, you know, the crossplay stuff, it's ridiculous. It's like, whoa, let me finish, motherfuckers. Let me finish. You know, and then the other thing is, you know, Nintendo and Sony have a long rivalry. They don't like each other. Like, if Chris was here, he'd let us know what the fuck was up, right? They're not going to play nice right now. But the only thing is, what's going on now is, like, I don't even know if Microsoft and Nintendo necessarily play nice, although they're on friendlier terms than Sony and
they're not
Nintendo.
In the same market.
Yeah, but the point is, like, Nintendo and Sony are not going to play nice. They have decades of animosity. That shit is not going to just suddenly evaporate overnight, you know? It's like, yes, the dream of crossplay is nice, but that's just not a reality. Like, I know you're getting it right now with Minecraft and shit like that, but in general, there's no real incentive there because you're kind of giving, like, you know, like, not really ammo, but you're not giving people a reason to stick with your specific platform. So I don't understand. It's like,
yeah, you are.
So Sony has their own shit. Why are they trying to get Xbox people? It doesn't really make any sense to me. But so yeah, the crossplay aspect seems really stupid to me. That whole argument is dumb. The Epic account thing, totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. Sony, unlock that shit.
But you're giving them the.
Okay, Tony, what you said is exactly the problem. What Sony is doing is the definition of anti-consumer.
How is it anti-consumer?
They are not giving, because a consumer has an account. This account does not belong to Sony, and Sony are limiting their use.
Oh, but Brian, I agree with that. I'm talking about the crossplay part. Yeah, I agree with you with the Epic account. I agree with you on that.
The way it's against consumers is that the rest of the market is trying to move in a way that would be more beneficial to consumers, but it's being held back by one company for their own
and
profit.
One company only.
But
and
why weren't people beefing when Microsoft did this last generation? That's what I want to know.
It's not.
That's what I want to know.
It's what's happening now. It's the game. It's all it comes down to is the game. People want this fucking Fortnite. They're not saying, "Damn, you should do all your shit like this." No, they want Fortnite. And it does matter to them because let's say Fortnite becomes a hit and it becomes one of those franchises and other games start coming and they're all doing it. They're saying, hey, this shit works. We're going to do it. Then the next go around may not be the same experience on PS4. They'll be like, you know what? Epic could say, you know what? You're not going to get the same version because we want one that's open for other markets and you guys aren't playing nice. So you're going to get a dumbed down version.
We don't know that. And also, you know, no one's also no one's talking about the fact that the PlayStation actually does have crossplay with PC and iOS and Android. So
they brought it up. They brought it up. You know, Tony, does any of this matter? You're talking to a mob. That's the thing you're not realizing.
Oh no, I agree with that, but I have to.
The mob is convinced. Hold on. The mob is convinced of the narrative that has been fed to them. Of what everything would be open and honest, and you'd be able to play and cross play and share, you know, only buy one game and play it across all consoles if it weren't for that damn Sony. And the mob bought it hook, line, and sinker and broke out their torches and pitchforks. It doesn't matter about a 20-year animosity. It doesn't matter why it's this way. It doesn't even matter if it could actually happen. All that matters right now is that there's been a rumor started by the mean girls of Microsoft and Nintendo that this is this way because Sony is playing ball.
Yeah.
That is all that fucking matters in the high school world that we fucking live in now.
Yep. So you're saying that Sony needs to give into this mob demand, basically?
No, Sony needs to have better publicity than go fuck yourself. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I read that statement. I'm like, yeah, they're in the right to say that shit. You know, I agree with what Sony
said. They boast their own numbers and then say, we're not planning on doing anything. That was the least sensitive public statement ever.
What did they say that was actually factually wrong in that statement?
There was nothing factually wrong.
It didn't answer the question. It didn't address the issue. The issue is not about the crossplay. The issue is, why can't you just unlink the account?
Yeah, that they need to answer for. They need to answer for the crossplay thing. I'm like, they don't need to answer for that shit. They got the most players out there. Because they got the most players, they don't need to answer for shit.
Yes, they do, Tony. And that's the thing you're not understanding. Okay, here's what you're not understanding about running a business. And I, as a small business person, I can tell you this. It doesn't fucking matter how you get to point B. I could convince my clients that I shit unicorn blood that turns into multiple colors, and that's the best kind of ink there is. And if they fucking bought it, then they would buy it. I am constantly fighting against tattoo artists who just straight up lie to their customers. Does that put any less money in their pocket? No. Does that make it less of a thorn in my side? No. I have to prove to my customers that I can give them a better product. I can't you constantly have to fight the narrative. And if the guy down the street, somebody comes in from the guy down the street and they're like, yeah, the guy down the street told me that the tattoo's not going to hurt. I have to convince them that that person is lying to them, because if I just tell them, no, I mean, when I tattoo, it hurts, they're just going to be like, oh, well, it didn't hurt from them. They'll sit in that chair, pay them $300 and then find out the hard way that they were fucking lied to. But it doesn't matter because the $300 is in their pocket. This is the way small business works. Not specifically the way specifically, this is the way that customers work. They are dumb. They are ill-informed. They are prone to rumors and fits of rage if they feel that they've been mistreated in any way. And you need to address all of those to keep your customer base healthy and happy. And if you're not doing that, then you are inevitably running the risk of your consumer base turning on you and breaking out the pitchforks and
torches. Dude, I'm sure all these guys that are saying, oh, I'm going to boycott Sony, they're going to jump on board when Spider-Man comes out, when The Last of Us comes out, when Death Stranding comes out.
Xbox comes out and Sony says, get a second job.
If they do that, then it's on Sony. I don't think you're going to repeat that shit again. You know?
But again, we're talking about the same thing, just to a larger extreme. The fact that
I don't understand you.
And Sony is saying,
you're basically advocating, like, hey, the mob says this, you need to listen to them. It's like, come on, bro.
No,
it's not just the mob. It's just a progression of how things are going. We're in social media, right? That's the whole thing. You have to have an online presence, right? That changed. That wasn't always the case. And that's the same thing that's going on here. It's like, this is what people want. They want to be connected. You're bragging about how you could hand over a game to your buddy. Well, I just want to play with my buddy on this shit. Let me go. Just let me go.
Your buddy is probably already on PlayStation, though.
Yeah, that's fine. But he wants to play on the Switch, and I want to play on the Switch. That's the whole point. They're not saying they want to leave fucking Sony. They're saying that they want to, you know, carry their profile over. That's the only issue. And the best comment that someone said, you know what, how about this? If you're not giving us this, bring it to Vita. Can you do that?
How do you know that's not in a plan already?
Because then we wouldn't have this issue with Epic. Epic would be like, don't worry, you're getting your own version coming. They would shut it down. That's it. They were like, you know what? Then give us a Vita version. Or make your own handheld. Make a new handheld. Give us a Vita 2. You know, and then we won't even bitch.
How do you know there's not a Vita 2 in the mix?
There could be. Sony kind of slightly hinted it.
What are you kidding me? That would be the fucking ice water on somebody right there. But the day, we're not doing it. We got a new one coming. What?
The day they announced the Vita 2, you can cancel Christmas for me, man.
Cancel Christmas.
Cancel Christmas, damn.
We got Scrooge McDuck over here.
All right, Manny, any other thoughts? Because you and I had a pretty long conversation about this. I liked what you said, that this is a manufactured outrage right now.
Yeah, this is manufactured outrage. It's bullshit. It's just
people. Yeah, it's like the people who complained about the Switch headset stuff, right?
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah. How is it manufactured? I have interest.
It's bullshit.
I'm going to say this. A lot of people that I've seen don't even own a Switch and they're beefing. I'm like, really? That's pretty interesting.
There's a bunch of people that don't have any. Let me just mention this one thing. Okay, every single one of us in here don't play Fortnite. So there's no reason why we should even be in this race at all, because it doesn't really affect us.
And no one cared about this. We didn't, bitch. Wait.
How about this, Manny? How about for future games? How about if this can set a precedent for future games so that that option exists?
For future games that
okay,
exist?
Okay, so I want to see this. Again, no. I want to see the same level of outrage when Battlefield 5, when Call of Duty comes out. I want to see the same level of outrage.
You don't care about it now because it's not a game that you play, but what if it is a game that you will play?
Number one, I also admit I don't have a horse in this race because I do not give a shit if I can play with anybody else.
I want to see, are people going to beef when this happens with Red Dead 2?
As long as the game works on my goddamn console.
It's bullshit.
As long as the game works on my goddamn console, that's the damn thing that I'm worried about. If I stick the damn game in or I download the damn game, if it doesn't work, that's the thing that directly concerns me. If I can play Fortnite with 100 other people, which I don't care about Fortnite. I don't care for online an online mode in general.
Because you're old. It's the young generation that.
Adam, you're older than all of us, bro.
Yeah, you don't see me talking about this. We're not the market. It's the younger kids. They're the one vocal and bitching and stuff, and they're the future. That's the bottom line. They're the future. They're the ones that put in all the money and buy all the cosmetics and doing all that shit.
We've seen the dangers of going with the mob. I don't think that's a good thing to do.
I don't think that it's a mob. I think it's people that generally
It's like complaining that DVDs don't work in a fucking VCR.
Well, yeah, but
it'd be great if they worked in a VCR. Yeah,
that's a great point.
But we already know the outcome of this. We already know what the end result is of this, of succumbing to the mob, quote unquote. Crossplay. What is that going to be the end of gaming?
There's a middle ground between succumbing to the mob and that you can address the problem and get out in front of it with something other than our install base is big enough that we don't care kind of message.
The thing is, I don't think that they never put out the install base is bigger than that we can care. I think in general there might This may be something that affects some sort of plans. I'm just, again, speculation. Might be something that affects some sort of future plans or something else. We don't know exactly why they want to do this sort of thing. They haven't actually given a direct reason.
See, you guys are giving it the benefit of the doubt, and that's
I'm not giving anybody a benefit of nothing.
Maybe there's a good reason why they're doing this.
Maybe there is a good. Maybe there. That's not a benefit.
It's called hate.
So hold on. So we're just automatically supposed to assume the worst here.
Yeah,
you accuse me of all the time, and that is exactly what you're both doing right now. Like, there might be a good reason for this.
Manny, by the way, the reason is money. Sony has no financial incentive to do this. That's the real reason.
But again, I think the thing is, again, it's like who, like, we talk about the last time this happened, and we talk about this time. There's absolutely no difference between them. How come all of a sudden it's an issue?
Microsoft was an asshole before, and you guys are saying Sony isn't an asshole this time.
I'm saying
I don't think they were an asshole before. They were still right to do that.
They were in the right to do what they wanted with that as well. If they want to open their doors, then they can open their doors. If they don't, they don't.
But
is it going to stop you from buying anything, though?
But people have the right to criticize a company for things they do or do not.
I'm not saying that
nobody has. They do have the right. And I have the right to think they're stupid.
But you guys asked the golden question. Is this going to stop you from buying something? No. Yes, it very well might.
Let's see if sales of PS4 are affected by this.
Are you going to just throw your PlayStation in the pyre for this one silly thing?
No. But if this, as Brian said, if this sets a precedent and becomes an industry standard leading into the next generation.
It is an industry standard. Everybody's accepted. It's been an industry standard for 10 fucking years.
Crossplay has?
No, like basically that you can't crossplay with systems.
Yeah, that's trying to change.
Remember,
stopping it are Sony.
Remember when Sony didn't have online?
I just find it hilarious. Nobody was beefing about this 3 years ago. Was it five years ago with Xbox? Things
change, man.
I remember a lot of people like, yeah, I don't think PlayStation will ever get online. They don't need online. Hell, Manny, you were like, I don't like playing with other people. I don't.
I don't, and I still don't.
Yeah, they but they gave in and they did it.
Yeah, they gave in to the mob, man.
Hey, listen, I could be screaming at the top of the hills and nobody would hear me. But you know what? I get the thing that I want.
I hear you. I'm here for you.
You want to know who's all complaining about this? There's people like Angry Joe. There's people like Greg Miller. There's people like Motorsface. What's that Fortnite dude that got
Angry who?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you don't think these people are just jumping on the bandwagon, dude? Come on,
no. These people have a vested interest. Are you telling me?
Yeah, because
that
it gets them views on their channel, right? they totally have a vested interest in this.
They have a vested interest in doing what they are doing because it's their hobby. Like, Ninja plays Fortnite. He now knows that he can't do that on Switch with Switch guys and Xbox guys now. Now he has an interest in saying,
weren't they complaining about Fortnite players from iPhone being assholes to play with? Or wasn't that an issue not long ago?
Because there's aimbotting. Like it's not the same version of the game, and it gives an advantage to people playing on phones because phones are janky pieces of shit. There was no parity between the versions.
Checks and balances.
It doesn't matter either way. The issue is that these people are interested in the interest of gamers. Sony is clearly not by this move, and it is evident. Along with their statement and along with their actions, like their statement was purely nothing but, hey, you know what? We're quote unquote listening to you. How like Bungie is listening to you. And plus, hey, we have 80 million consoles sold, so go fuck yourself. So it seems like Sony just don't give a damn. And the issue that I have is a company cannot claim to be for the players and make decisions like this. That is hypocritical, and that's bullshit. And we here at the Throwdown have said many times, if a company does things that's bullshit, then we will speak up against it. And hence why we are speaking up against it. Because Sony are saying one thing and doing another thing, which is the definition of hypocrisy, and we are calling it out, pure and simple.
You're here, Brian.
Yeah, again, yep, the Epic thing, totally agree. It's like, yo, you don't, that shit don't belong to you. The crossplay thing, complete bullshit. You know, I want to see this same level of animosity when Battlefield comes out, when Red Dead 2 comes out. I want to see all this shit. You know,
you're a pony.
How's that?
Because you are making up excuses to defend.
I'm not making up excuses because you're.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Well, you know what? You know, if I'm being a pony, then you're being a fucking. You're being selfish right now because you're just thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the. Because look, you have to understand where the business is coming from. You're not seeing that. You know.
Oh wow, Tony, how are we being?
Because you're not seeing all sides here. I'm just being honest right now.
You're thinking about gaming in general.
Because you guys don't understand how business works here.
Yeah, but we're not the business. We're
just because it's a smart. Okay, Tony, do you want to know what else is a smart business decision? But that is complete bullshit. Season passes, DLC, online content like that.
Yeah, that's within their rights to do that.
Smart business decision.
Yeah, that's within their rights. Yeah, I've said that many times.
And that is bullshit.
How is it bullshit if people buy it? How is it bullshit if people buy it?
It harms consumers.
How does it harm consumers if they keep buying them all the time?
See, Tony, that's the thing.
You know?
People like you will buy no matter what because you're making excuses.
We spend shows criticizing.
Wait. Okay. Capcom, they lock away their content when you buy the disc. Like, you buy the disc, it comes with all the content, but it's locked away because they want to make you pay for DLC. That is a smart business decision. But you know what else that is? That's bullshit. That's pure bullshit because they lock away content that you have paid for. You can't sit there and defend these type of things, Tony. Like, that is the definition of anti-consumer progress. And you can't sit there and say that it is within Sony's rights.
I can say it's within their rights because it is within their rights.
And then that is exactly why people call you a pony, Tony.
Okay, well, you know what? Then if they're going to call me, they're going to call me that. You know? Because I just see a lot of hypocritical nonsense online.
It's not hypocritical. When Microsoft did the same thing Last time we said
no one gave a fuck.
Yeah, when and you know what? And everybody went about their day.
Everybody went about their day.
Went about their day after that. Isn't that fun?
The game. Yeah. No, not before. Not before it helps.
Not before nothing. No, number one, it should. All of a sudden, it's now in the zeitgeist because somebody back in the zeitgeist because this thing is actually happening. Nobody was fucking thinking about
it. Reputation doesn't matter. Like reputation isn't what single handedly gave Microsoft or Sony 75% of the fucking microshare because Sony or Microsoft decided to get up there and act like a bunch of uncaring assholes. That's what gave this generation away.
Yeah, now we look where Microsoft is now.
You act like public consensus and the court of public opinion don't fucking matter when we're looking at an $80 million market share where it clearly does fucking matter what these people think. It does matter what your customers think, right, wrong, or indifferent. It fucking matters. And right now they're presenting people the option of move forward as an industry and better things for all gamers, except for Sony doesn't want to let us do that. And that is in their right, sure. The same way it is in your neighbor's right not to let you cut through their lawn to get to the bus stop, even though you have to go 8 blocks out of your way the other way to do it otherwise. That's fully within their right. They are fully within their right to be a dick. But you know what? You're going to remember that shit. And you're going to remember that shit the next time it comes.
But you're the one being a dick by walking over the lawn.
Why are you walking
again? Yeah, leave the guys walking alone. You're being an asshole doing that, you know? But that's besides the topic here, you know? I told you guys it was going to be throwdown tonight, baby.
The thing is, I just don't see the issue. But the thing is that at the same time, I don't have a pony in this race. Well, if you can play on a one platform, you know, one platform or another, as fun as that might be, I don't care about that because that is not the way I play.
Why are you going out of your way to defend when so many people obviously do care?
Excuse me?
Why are you going out of your way to defend Sony when
no one's defending Sony?
I'm not going out of my way to defend Sony, but I'm also saying at the same time it is within their right to do this. This is their. Because if they don't want to play, then they don't want to play.
Within their right out the fucking window because everything EA has ever done is within their right, and I think we've all had a pretty public consensus that they're a bunch of shitbirds.
Yeah, I mean we have episodes covering loot boxes and why they're detrimental to the video.
But I've always said loot boxes are like I don't like them, but why do we cover them though? You know, but
why do we cover it?
Because why are we covering this? Because it's important to gamers.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah,
that's our point.
It's important.
Okay, that was never in question, though.
The people, it downloaded, 2 million copies of that shit was downloaded the first week.
Yep.
So a lot of people give a shit.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. I just think it's kind of bullshit. The Epic account, totally agree. That's a fucking dick move. Like, Tony, that shit don't belong to you. The crossplay stuff, come on. Nah. I don't buy that. Again, I want to see the same outrage next year when all those big MP games start coming out. I want to see the same shit. Then I'll leave you guys alone because, like, okay, everybody's being consistent now at least.
Dude, I've always shown this kind of
like, how come? Yeah, like, how come? Like, how come with the with any of the last
Rocket League?
By the way, this is with Rocket League. This is empirical. With Fortnite. I was one of the people shitting on Sony because their PSN network was fucking horrible, and they fixed that shit. Look where it is now. Yeah. It's at the same caliber as Xbox Live. It might even be better. Look how far
Xbox people. I hear them. They're screaming.
Yeah, they're screaming. Our shit is better.
They know.
All right, man. Any last thoughts on this?
Just to let everybody out there know that we're still friends after all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, like,
I don't know about you.
I deleted everybody from my PSN account.
I'm so glad you said that because every time we've had these big debates, like, yo, you guys okay? Like, yeah, we're cool, man.
Yeah,
we're cool.
I mean, here's the thing about having a difference of opinion. You can have a difference in opinion and still be friends.
Yeah, not on the internet age, though, apparently, but we're old school, so you don't got to worry about us, you know? All right, man.
Yeah, we cool.
Yeah, all right, moving on here. More interesting stuff happened. NPDs, man, very interesting. Actually, this is funny. I got to call out the ponies right now, right? Because some leaks happened a couple of days ago, and these guys were dancing because God of War, you know, like God of War's number one game. Womp, womp. That's actually not what happened. Surprisingly, I guess you could call this an upset. State of Decay 2 is the number one selling game in May. And here's the crazy thing. People are going to go, oh, it's because of Game Pass. Digital sales were not counted for this. This is all physical. Ain't that about a bitch?
That's crazy.
Good that is them. Insane. Yeah. Hey, Xbox got a W. They got a W. You know, so you got to give it up to them. Obviously, Sony still ended up selling more systems, but the fact that State of Decay 2, I don't remember the last time we saw an Xbox game be number one, so good on you. Good on
you, Microsoft. Wasn't it PUBG the last time?
Is that really, an Xbox game, though?
I made it that way.
Yeah, well, it's a console exclusive.
Yeah, Xbox. Yeah. Anyway, let me go down the line real quick, and then you guys could give your thoughts. So, City K 2, number one selling game. God of War 2 is the number two game. Detroit Become Human, number three. Far Cry 5, number four. Donkey Kong, number five. Brian's favorite, Grand Theft Auto 5, is number six. Jesus. Hyrule Warriors for Switch, number seven. Rainbow Six Siege still hold. What the fuck? It's still holding in? What the hell?
But you know what it is? Because it's got all this free content. They're always releasing shit. It's like what season two fuck? Or some shit.
Number eight, Mario Kart, is still in there at number nine. And NBA 2K, number 10, man. Crazy shit. What are your thoughts? Brian, get in here.
It's good to see that your boy's game is still, in the top 10 for some odd reason. I just seem to think that it's just a joke now that it's still there because I don't understand. One thing that I'm interested to see is how well it will fare when Red Dead 2 comes out. Shit. I actually want to see whether or not it will outlast it or whether Red Dead 2 will just, replace it.
Shit, how crazy would that be? 6 months later, Red Dead's not in the top 10, but GTA 5 is still there.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I don't think State of Decay 2 is going to be there next month. In the number one spot, maybe in the top 10, but definitely not number one.
Well, they got a new DLC, some free DLC coming or something. So maybe who knows?
Because I haven't heard any buzz about this game, despite the fact that it's still buildings. I haven't heard much buzz, I heard way more buzz about Sea of Thieves in this game,
Sea of Thieves was trying to do something big, and it was the release of the Game Pass. They're actually adding a lot of content still, so Microsoft seems to be taking an approach of kind of games as a service, but in a way that they release a game, and then they keep refreshing it a la Division so that it continues the lifespan, which actually kind of makes sense because Game Pass and the nature of it motivates Microsoft to keep you playing. So as long as they're doing it by adding content and not stretching shit out like Blizzard likes to do, you may actually see a lot of Microsoft's games holding higher slots because they're pretty much everything that they're coming out with or have planned, they're talking about, releasing content for pretty continuously for free, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of things here. Hardware, it says highest May overall total hardware sales since 2011. That's pretty good. I think that's overall, yeah. PS4, Xbox One, and Switch all achieved highest ever May unit sales. What's going on in May that people bought so many consoles, man? Am I missing something?
God of War? Sales?
It was cold.
It was cold. I mean, God of War and State of Decay, I guess.
Yeah, God of War is... I wonder, have we gotten updated numbers on God of War?
No, I want to know if, because E3 is over, right? Chris predicted 8 million. Know. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Copyright guy, copyright.
Now I was singing it off key. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I'm quick.
Now I read your words now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dana, what are your thoughts on this? Mighty Nerd is very anxious to hear your thoughts.
Oh.
Yo. Yeah.
I don't know why NBA is on this list.
Because it's that season still. They just had the draft today, so.
Really? So people rushed out to buy the game?
People just get today. Hyped, and it was on sale also. They dropped the price.
It doesn't count. Well,
that's how most of these games get on the list because they
that's how GTA is still on there. That shit's $20 and plastered over the front of what's hot in every category.
Actually, correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think GTA's had a price drop, right?
No, but when it's on sale, it goes on. It never does a price drop. Yeah. But they do sales.
Because Rockstar do is like, we don't got to drop our price, motherfucker.
I just saw it on there for $20 anyway. When I went to buy Dark Souls.
Really? In the used bin, Brett, or new?
On PSN.
No, it's on sale. Gotcha. There's a sale going on.
Okay, that's there you go. Yeah, because I'm like,
but
usually
it's never been properly dropped. No, it's still $60 when it's not on.
That's sale. What I'm saying. Yeah. Actually, check this out. Hold on. It's changing the topic a little bit. On Amazon, it is actually $30. Look at that.
Oh.
Ain't that about a bitch? Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. By the way, Dana.
Detroit Human, I keep seeing it. It just keeps going down and down more. I wonder if it's going to stay around once Red Dead is released.
Actually, isn't this debuting at number 3? I could be wrong. I thought it debuted at number 3.
Detroit?
No? Yeah, Detroit, right? Did it come out? When did Detroit come out?
It came out last month,
right?
Yeah.
In May, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is his debut then. It hasn't gone down or up. It's just that's where it made its debut.
Yes.
Well, I'm shocked at that debut because it should have been like a number 2. But obviously, Decay just came and just knocked everything away.
Yeah, well, God of War is a phenomenon.
Yeah, God of War, yeah.
Being a number 1, but Detroit 3.
Yeah, but State of Decay 2, you got to remember, it's $30.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. Detroit's not going to be on this list very long. Let's just be real.
Didn't Detroit get only lukewarm reviews?
Here's the funny thing about Detroit. It sold really, relatively well. Actually, sold better than usual Quantic Dreams. It's the game reviewers that didn't like the game very well for, other reasons that we won't discuss here. You know, gamers seem to like it. It's just the reviewers didn't like it. We're not going to get into that why. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to say it publicly, but Dana, I do apologize for the specific link I used for this NPD. I think you know why. Inside joke. All right. What other things do we want to cover here? They have the breakdown, obviously, of all the platforms. State of Decay 2 obviously sold the most on Xbox. Donkey Kong was the bestseller on Switch. God of War, that was the bestseller on PlayStations. And 3DS, Brett, your favorite 3DS is still holding in there.
Still playing my 3DS.
Pokemon's.
They got another. Oh, the is coming too. The King one. What's it called? The
Block one? Game.
No, the one that's coming with the new maps that everyone keeps talking about. It's going to have the Mario Odyssey stuff on it. It's also coming for 3DS, the new one.
I know this is obvious due to the topic, but I just have to clarify, they're still selling that many fucking 3DSs? Jesus.
Yes.
Right. They just released
anywhere soon, man.
Who is buying this shit?
Same people who buy GTA 5.
I have not, I cannot remember the last time I've run across somebody who's like, I need to buy a...
Brett, I thought of buying like another 3DS the other day, so I was like...
To be fair, I bought one in December.
Oh, Jesus, you people.
Hey, Brett, also, remember how you said, I think it was what Brian said once, that we're always, every year there's another 20-year-old. So when it comes to DS, every day there's a new 70-year-old.
I suppose I understand. Tony, you don't even like handheld games.
I wanted to play Samus Returns, man. I'm being real. I wanted to play Samus Returns.
That was a system seller to him.
And the thing is, even though I already had a 3DS, I wanted to buy the Super Nintendo theme one. I'm just saying.
you have multiple 3DS. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, I also own three copies of GTA 5, man. You know?
What's wrong with you?
The problem.
Yep, pretty much. Yes, I have. I'm a pony, right? I only own one Vita and two 3DSs. Oh no, I'm breaking the narrative.
Well, I mean, in fairness, if Vita had actually lived to do anything, you might own a couple.
Oh wow!
Actually, Brett, to be fair though, I am gonna buy another Vita soon.
Oh shit!
You already know.
You have to explain that one to me
because I want the lighter one because that shit's gonna get
horrible on that.
That thing is gonna get closed down pretty soon. So I want to get that one.
You know what we need?
A
PS Vita Go.
Oh God!
I think the market is actually ready for that now.
Yeah, Carlos, I tasted that right here, son. Like no.
But at the same time, it probably might fall into the same pit that the PlayStation Go ran into, which was, you already bought the damn game. How come you can't download the?
Oh man, yeah, that was horrible.
I just don't like the fact that 3DS is killing my narrative that handheld gaming is dead. It's like you're still keeping it alive, you motherfuckers.
No, it's not. Here's the thing: it's not gonna. I think people. Somebody will. It definitely is still alive. It's just not the point. Not at the point that it was. Yeah. And then it also helps that you're kind of the biggest game in town. It's like, hey, if you're gonna own a handheld, might as well own that one, right?
Yeah. By the way, this is interesting from the NPD. May saw 2 times more headsets being sold. I guess people need them for State of Decay too. You know,
they needed for that Fortnite.
Like five of them.
Hold on, I almost did a Carlos Dam right now. Switch sold 90% more year over year.
Wait,
damn.
What?
Damn. How? What? How did that happen?
Switch? 90% more, like in this May than last May?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
I don't
know. Headsets?
No. Switches.
Oh,
Switch.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Switch headset. You know.
Like, what?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
You won't play Fortnite on the go, so hence the Barrett.
I guess.
It's that Labo, man.
But didn't Switch win MPDs last year in May?
Probably. So but remember, hardware sales overall went up. You know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think we pretty much covered the MPDs. You know, a kind of regular month, but the big surprise obviously was State of Decay 2. I didn't even think that was going to make the top 10, to be honest. I'm like, who's going to play this shit? But I was wrong.
No one thought that it was going to be like in the top 10 at least. So hence, see it at number one. I'm just like, okay, so I guess the Xbox guys want to play that game. So good on them. They're supporting their developers. That's a good thing. So yeah.
I told you guys. Yes.
I just want to know the God of War numbers. Like, is it doing well? Is it not doing well? Like, let me know. I want to know.
Yeah, because like, the last time we checked.
8 million?
Yeah.
Not?
Last time we checked, it was
like
5, right?
5 million?
Yeah,
it was 5. So, did it do 6 million? Did it do 7? Did it do 10 million? I want to know these numbers, Sony.
Brian, if they did 10 million, you would have heard about that in the press conference. I guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know, Adam, I know.
So 10 billion copies of God of War.
You know,
and also can I just ask? Breath of the Wild was number 20 on the MPD.
Damn, Brett, man, rub it in, man, rub it in. Go ahead.
I told you. Yep. How many times do I gotta be right before you start listening to me?
Hey, I don't see Skyrim in the top 10,
but I do see. Hey. To be fair, I see Skyrim in the top 10 of Switch though.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so there you go. Labo's number. Ooh, yeah. What happened to Labo? Son, that shit fell off.
Oh, God. The thing I sent you guys, the little arcade that you can build for Namco, the Namco arcade is $20. It looks like the old little arcade machines, and you put the controllers
on
the screen. It's a Labo.
Okay.
I sent it to you, dudes. That's going to be hot. Everybody's going to want that
shit. What's going on, Paranormal Gamer? Okay, so there you go. Labo, it was number one for a Switch last month, obviously, and I think it was, number two or something overall? MPDs now was number 8. That shit's falling off fast.
Wow, novelty of cardboard didn't last.
Yeah, wait, cardboard didn't last. It's number 8 for Switch sales.
Okay.
Yeah, not overall sales. That'd be insane, you know? Looking at the rest of the top 20, it's like a bunch of sports games. Mario Odyssey still in there. Breath of the Wild it's still in there. Street Fighter did not debut that good. Number 17? PUBG still in there. Assassin's Creed. Monster Hunter still there. Okay.
Street Fighter, I mean, like the
collection.
Street Fighter, the collection?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I mean, at least for Switch, it's like, hey, we already got a Street Fighter game.
Yeah,
like, at the launch. So what is it like Capcom going to do? Like, release a Street Fighter game every year?
Hold on. I'm okay. Never mind. All right, cool. All right, let's move on here, man. What are we up to right now? Okay, this is interesting. So one of Crackdown 3's main original developers has left the project. What the fuck is going on with this, man? Have you guys heard about this shit?
Did they leave? I heard that they're not dealing with Microsoft, though. They're working with the other studio that's there, but they're not working with Microsoft.
Yeah, and this also brings up questions about the engine, like the whole cloud thing. Remember how that was like the big deal?
They were behind all that.
So he left. Now he's with the company that did that. So they don't know if that company's still doing that for Crackdown. And again, this just raised the question again. It's like, why? What is going on with this game? And why hasn't Microsoft canceled it? Even though we know the answer, it would look bad. I think that, you know, they need to release this game, even if it's in a like shitty state or whatever. They need to release it at this point. You know,
even if it's in a state of decay.
Yes. Exactly, man. It's crazy.
It doesn't look good for Crackdown. I mean, the reputation it's been getting ever since his debut until this point, it's been going down a really bad path, and this just doesn't make it look any better.
And I'm wondering, do you think the reason it's been delayed is because of this shit that's going on behind the scenes?
I honestly think that this game, like, I think Phil just went to the studio and said, No, actually, Adam, did he mention this in his interview with Giant Bomb? Like,
He said it. Yep, he said it. It's had some hiccups, and that he didn't like the progress that he saw. He saw that it felt like it didn't feel like Crackdown. It looked like Crackdown, but didn't feel like Crackdown.
Exactly. Yeah, he said it didn't feel like Crackdown.
Yeah, and that it needed more time, and that he worked on the original, so he really knows what it feels like, and that he has no problem. He's like, he quoted someone just saying, and we've all heard that quote before. It's like, it's better to have something delayed than push out a crappy game, something to that effect. And it's true. Hopefully, though, when it comes out, it's not crap.
That didn't happen with Scalebound, did it?
Well, he canceled. Now, the question I always thought to myself when I heard this was like, well, what if he didn't cancel Scalebound and he canceled Crackdown? Then maybe people would be okay with all that. But he can't cancel Crackdown and Scalebound. You know what I mean? So it's like he's got to just let this one keep cooking, and hopefully it comes out somewhat playable and worth some. Who knows? Maybe it won't even be a full-price game. Maybe they'll release it as a $30 game.
Yeah, one thing that I'm reading from this article, it seems that perhaps the original engine they used for the cloud destruction or whatever, that's no longer in there, so they're using Microsoft's version of the same type of engine. So something's going on behind the scenes, you know? You know, like we always say, you know, like this is what happens when you kind of see the sausage being made for game development. Anything can happen, you know? But yeah, I don't know. It's not looking good for this game, man. And this is supposed to be, wasn't this just supposed to be like, not a launch title, but pretty close to launch title for Xbox One?
No, it was announced. It was announced when the Xbox One was already out.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
But it was one of the ones that it was done very close to the launch.
When we thought the S was coming, we thought this one was going to come alongside that.
Mm-hmm. There's the X.
And then when it got pushed again, and they're like, oh, well, it'll be with the X. And that didn't even happen. So
there is definitely a lot of weight on this game for Microsoft.
Feel like there's too much weight for this game. In general, Crackdown was not one of those cornerstone sorts of titles. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this before. I see Crackdown on the level of a Gravity Rush. It's great that it exists, but it's not going to sell any consoles.
Yeah, and part of it, it's Microsoft's fault because they put it everywhere in their advertisement. If you look at the Game Pass site, it's there. If you look, when I was looking for an Xbox One X on Amazon, it's there. So they're advertising their system and their service with Crackdown in mind. And it hasn't even released yet, and it's been in turmoil for a long time. So it's I don't know.
Think about how long ago this was announced. This was announced in 2013, right, Tony?
Yeah.
Our first E3?
Yeah, first E3, that's right.
Our first E3, 2013, that was announced. It is now 2017.
No, it's not. 2018, man.
2018, excuse me. I don't even know. Yeah, 2018. So 5 years ago.
That's crazy, man. Any other things you guys want to say about this? Like, Mighty Nerd, I got a comment on what you just said right now, man. Any other? Go ahead. You know, before we move on, obviously, any other last thoughts on the Crackdowns?
Yeah, so I think Sean mentioned, then why rush it? Now, I don't think anybody's saying
don't rush it.
Don't rush it. Take your fucking time, man.
Make that shit the best Crackdown you've ever made, man.
Yeah.
You know, make it the endless of all times.
That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, no one's saying to rush it.
But what we're saying is what comes with all this time that it takes to develop when they keep showing stuff about it, like piece by piece, E3 conference by E3 conference, it adds this weight that I just don't think that, like, it cashes a check or, God, I'm bad with these freaking phrases, but what do you say?
It's mouth worth a check, it's ass can't cash.
That, exactly. What Brett said.
Dana, what was it?
Don't cash your check before you get paid.
Yeah. Don't count your chickens before they roost or whatever, you know?
For the eggs hatch.
Yeah.
Don't count the eggs before they hatch.
Put the cart before the horse, all that shit. All these farming fucking things.
Well, then, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, don't bet your paycheck at the horse races until you get paid.
Yo, make like a tree and get out of here.
It's leave, you idiot.
It's leave.
Make like a tree and leave.
Yeah, Shawan says, write a check that it's butt can't cash. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yo, Carlos, this is the second time in a row where you're trying to do these metaphors and you fuck it up.
Yeah, it's these American sayings that, like, I've heard once and I'm like, oh, I'm trying to remember it while I while I say it.
Yo, say it in Spanish, man. I'll understand. Don't worry about
no,
it.
No, no, no. I got this. I got this from like American culture, but it's like I just when I wanted to bring it up, I just completely forgot how it went. So I was like, damn it.
Yeah, man. Fuck America. You know.
But I'm in. I committed to the bits. Like I can't get off of it.
Hey, just like Microsoft committed to bit with Crackdown, they got to put that shit.
They got to do it.
You know, if you're convinced you're going to get it wrong, just get it wildly inaccurate, and most people just go with it.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's like, going to be the case with Crackdown.
Don't write a check that you can't launch into space. People are like, I hadn't heard that one, but okay.
Yeah, you get the meaning, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Let me. I got to address this, man. Here you go. And let me read the whole thing. Brett specifically. Tony, will you address the fake Switch success that Brett always talks about? If the Switch is so successful, why does it not lead the NPDs and in global sales compared to PlayStation 4, a console released in 2013? Brett, do you want to take this one? Because I already got ammo.
Wow, okay. That's a really interesting way to phrase it. Don't think anybody's been saying the Switch is going to dominate the gaming world. Prepare yourself. Everybody will own a Switch. They're doing successful in context. We're talking 16 million, though, versus like PlayStation's 80 million. No, nobody's saying that Nintendo's coming for Sony.
Yeah, I also need to point out the fact because we just did NPDs a little bit ago, right? Five games of the top 20 are Switch exclusives. Three of these games have not left the NPDs for a year. Just throwing that out there, man. Switch, obviously hasn't sold as much as PlayStation, but it's a success. It's a very successful system. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to outsell Xbox next year. So, you know, if you don't like Switch, that's cool, but you know, you can't deny that this thing is a bona fide success. I've eaten my fucking crow, you know? Got to do it, brother. Chris ate his shit, too, you know? I thought this motherfucker was going to flop. It didn't, you know? It's a success, man. So I don't understand what you mean by, like, do you think it's not successful because it's not beating Sony? That's not really a good metric. That's like saying, hey, that short guy's not as big as the tall guy. He loses, like, but he's really fucking tall for his size, man. You know, and he's going to keep growing. You know, he may not get as tall as the big guy, but he'll get there. You know, he's gonna get bigger than the green guy over there, though. But yeah, very interesting. But I'm glad you bring that up. Regardless, all right. Next topic. This, well, Brett, I specifically picked this one just so I could throw you under the bus a little bit. Hope you don't mind.
All right, here we go.
What?
All right. So Xbox One VR support is no longer being worked on. Is anybody surprised by this, man? VR, what did I say about VR?
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that in a bit. Brett, this is the thing. I wanted to tell you this last week, but I forgot. Okay, last year you asked me if I believe that, you know, basically because there was a lot of, you know, VR games shown at E3. And you're like, do you believe that the abundance of VR games shown at E3 means that this is a healthy thing? I want to ask you, does the lack of VR games at this year's E3 means it's dying? It's the flipped question, you know?
I'm not brooding, I'm chewing. Hold on.
Motherfucker.
Paint your face in shadows.
Here's my thing. I kind of knew Xbox was working on VR, but they didn't really say. They were more about doing the AR stuff. But
Well, wait a minute. They had the creator of Doom pop out on the stage last year at E3 saying, yes, we are committed to doing VR on the Xbox.
Weren't there talks about them like using like a third party VR yes. That's like, really
yes.
cheap?
Yes, yes, they were.
Yeah, they were saying that it's probably going to be compatible with other VR helmets or something like that.
All right, we're going to give Brett a little bit more time to chew, because Manny, we got to, you know, me and Ian, I got to fill you in on the E3 scene at E3, because basically last year, Manny, you already know, ton of VR everywhere you see. Now yeah. There was only one place.
Sony. Sony had the most VR at E3 this year.
But
maybe
how were those lines?
There was nobody on the lines. It was probably, if you wanted a quick play of any of those games, you could easily do it. But those were locked behind the PlayStation app, where you had to kind of log in so you can get some time on there. But yeah, none of those queues were ever filled. And also, not to mention, the Destiny queue was not also filled too. Destiny and VR were the only two things that you needed to use a supposed special app to wait on.
By the way, Manny, you're an American. It's line.
Huh?
It's line, not Q. We're Americans.
Whatever. Q, whatever.
I got to be an asshole. Care. All right, Brett, get in here, man. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are VR is kind of where I expected it to be and where I hoped it to be. That may sound a little weird, but you know, for those of you that have listened for years, y'all know that I play the long game a little bit. The same way I preached about DayZ, you know, finally we're seeing some stuff come to fruition along those themes. I fully expected VR to kind of peek its head above the surface and then dive back down a little bit, and then peek its head above the surface and dive back down a little bit. I think what was really important was that it was shown that the market is interested and somewhat ready for this, and that there's a revenue flow through business and virtual reality and tours and things like that, managing stock and inventory. So basically, we're going to hit this weird gulf, and I think that's where we are now, where it gets launched, people are hyped about it. It still has some bugs to work out, and in order to do that, it's going to need to evolve, but in order to evolve, it's going to need some cash flow, and so it's going to kind of move into the more functional sector. And that's kind of where it is. I'm actually talking to a lot of people that are, like I said, they're using it for inventorying and space viewing and things like that, retail space, stuff like that. So I think that we're going to see another iteration of it, but right now there's not much we can do because Sony's the biggest hand in that market, and the PlayStation really can't handle much more than it already has. So, and the VR isn't really where you want it to be. I mean, it's great that everybody's interested and I'm interested in everything like that, but it's not a thing that you can play all day, every day. It can't be your primary means of gaming. It's still, you know, mildly cumbersome, and you still have to, you know, commit to, I'm going to sit down and play some VR. It's not as easy to do as to, you know, you just pick up your controller, pick up your headset, throw it on and play your favorite game. There are still very specific VR games. There's not a good way to integrate it into whatever game you're playing. Make no mistake, I still think that's eventually where we're going to go. I think most games will come with a VR mode, and I don't think it'll be that hard to tack on, but for now, it's right where it needs to be in that it's kind of revamping for version 2.0 and trying to address some of the problems that kept it from being, you know, having mass appeal. The nausea, the low resolution, the complicated setup, battery, screens, things like that. They're all things, and you know, not just that, but in games too. They're, you know, the same way I talk about survival games and how whenever you make a new genre, you have to figure out how people best interact with that genre. And that's no more that's prevalent mostly in VR, where you still have people seeing, you know, do we put a framework around something? Because if we put a framework around it, or, you know, this tiny invisible line that's, you know, not really conscious because it only blinks for, you know, a quarter of a millisecond every, you know, 29 frames, that somehow stops people from getting motion sickness. So there's all kinds of ways that they're trying to figure out what the brain works, what people respond to, what the market likes. It's kind of the Wild West out there of a new platform, and it's going to have to reinvent itself. And you're going to see this happen multiple times. It'll kind of come out again and then kind of die back down a little bit and then come out again. And, you know, that's when it'll probably become, you know, your standard average thing. I don't think it's going to just pick up and shoot off like a rocket. It might have if Oculus didn't burn out, but they burnt out real bad. I don't even know what's up with the Vive. So there are lots of people interested in it. Problem is, it's really hard to push with current computing power. And so we've run into another technology bottleneck that we're kind of waiting to catch up with.
Yeah.
It's been shown that the market is interested. So now we have, you know, okay, so we put something out there. We couldn't quite do it as well as we wanted to, but people seem interested, so now it's worth it to invest money to try and get it to do the thing that, A, we want it to, and B, people think that it should do. So we're getting there. I don't think it's dead in the water, but I don't think it's, you know, a raging, gigantic success. I think in context, it's been a pretty good success. Sony has sold out just about, every single headset that it's made, so...
Did you hear about the Vive doing the wireless one? It costs like a few thousand.
Damn.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Vive is quoting it way too high. They're being the luxury. There's not enough market there to differentiate yourself that way. These guys should really be competing on the original idea, which sold the Oculus, which was a headset for between $300 and $500. That, boom, you're ready to go off to the races. Oculus didn't deliver. It's constantly going revisions, and it partnered with Facebook, and it's been shown, like, it fucking tracks your retina movement. it checks which ads you sit on and for how long and reports that data back to Facebook. Nobody wants that shit. That is dead in the water. And Facebook fucking killed that shit. Five costs thousands of dollars, and the PlayStation VR doesn't really have the horsepower to run fully immersive VR games. So fucking here we are. But developers and production companies know that there's enough of an interest there. I say this on the tail of the news that Microsoft is shutting theirs down, but I think Microsoft's was just a thinly veiled attempt to try and salvage some of the R&D that they did for the Kinect. They tried to pull the Kinect into AR and AR with VR, and none of it worked, and they're just focusing on games now.
What's interesting is that the way, you know, you could read this article different ways, but it seems like even the AR stuff is kind of going by the wayside, which is interesting.
I think Microsoft ditched everything. I think they just streamlined the entire gaming division to focus on games and games and games and getting out content. I think that was very clear with their presentation at EA. So I would absolutely believe that E3. They went in there with a hammer and just cut out or just knocked down fucking everything that wasn't core games.
Yeah, a quick thing. Shawan says that, is anyone noticing that quote-unquote other accessories just don't pan out long-term? Kinect, PS Move, VR. Yeah, that's why I said VR is not going to last, because these other things didn't last. Like VR, here's the thing. People need to make a distinction. VR as a technology, not going anywhere. It's probably going to get bigger in other fields. For gaming, I think Brett's right. It may come back later as something more viable. Right now, it's a curiosity. It's kind of neat to play around with it. But as a like gaming thing, like a full gaming thing, it's not where it needs to be right now. It's too cumbersome right now. It is not there yet.
What's the last gaming accessory that has stuck? Rumble Pack?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably others, but yeah, Rumble Pack is one of them, or Rumble in general. Yeah, it's interesting because remember Rumble? You're right, that was a gimmick too, but that stuck.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Dana, you're a big fan of VR, aren't you?
She's on this shit right now. She's watching us in VR. What?
No, was it you, Tony, that what does mean, like, basically pass out in the middle of one of the VR games?
Yeah.
I'm not a big VR fan. I pass out very easily. But I have to agree with Brett said, though. I don't think that right now people care. I think that once they work out the kinks and the technology and it becomes stronger, that we're going to get a much better VR, and I think they're going to find games that actually, you know, you can play without there being any type of problems, and games that are actually interesting in VR. So I think it's just all about a matter of wait and see. But for right now, it is fading. No one really cares anyway. I mean, we can barely get the games to play as they are now. So not now. I say maybe give it a good 10, 15 years.
Hey, Brad, I got a quick question for you, man. Do you think the next generation consoles will be more powerful to make VR better?
Not enough.
So you really think it's going to take like something heavy, heavy, right?
I think we're two generations out from being able to properly run VR.
Yeah,
going to hit a fidelity cap. We're going to hit a point where you can't make anything shinier or crisper or put more particle effects around something. And then the market's going to say, okay, what now? And so we're either going to see a huge change in the way that we interact with games and seeing new engines made, destructible environments, things like that, which I'd really like to see. But the more realistic option is they're just going to give you a fancier, newer way to look at it, which seems to be the way that they always want to go. And when you hit that fidelity cap, it's probably going to be VR. I mean, if you can transfer seamlessly to between your TV and VR, if you're playing Doom or something like that, then I think that's when people are like, oh yeah, man, I'll sit down, I'll shoot some people, but you know, then I'll put on my headset and yeah, that's really cool being able to see behind me, and they'll play that for a while and they're like, you know, it kind of sucks when I play on my TV and I can't see behind me. Like all of a sudden I feel like I'm just playing a game through a window. You're gonna get people kind of used to VR, and that's when it'll really hook and kick off. That's what'll become the big immersive experience. But like I said, I think that's probably two generations off.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. It's not there yet, you know? Maybe it'll come back. VR, I was going to say 2.0, but isn't this already 2.0? Because, like, wasn't technically the Virtual Boy 1.0 or something? You know, people forget about that shit, you know?
It wasn't really a virtual reality headset, though. Like, it made it look like it was, but the thing's still not a fucking stand. It wasn't the dream that everybody had of like, cool, I just put this thing on and fully immersed.
It was trickery.
Yeah, but then again, Atari wasn't the dream of gaming, but it's still the early version of gaming that we know.
Yeah, that is true.
It did give you migraines, though.
Yeah. Mighty Nerd, you crazy. By the way, Dana, this guy, he likes you. I'm just going to say that. He likes you a lot. You crazy, Mighty Nerd.
What did he say?
No, he just wants you to give him a shout out. And he also said, because you were talking about how you almost fainted with VR. He's like, I would have caught you, Dana.
Oh.
No, she was fine, though, because, what brought her back to Earth was hip-hop gamers screaming in the background.
We're screaming.
Get up, bitch.
Hip-hop, bitch. We got stories for days, man. I know Dana's got a couple of hip-hop stories, but we'll save that for another day. All right. Okay, since we actually have plenty of time here, I actually wanted to throw something at you. This is more of a conversation thing. I was on Twitter, and I was reading something that Author Guys, formerly of Polygon, said. Basically, it goes back to the
cyber... Oh, he left? He left Polygon?
He left a while ago, dude.
Shit.
He left. It's funny, though. He's like, he's not in the gaming industry yet. My man was at E3. I saw him a bunch of times.
Give him a call.
So anyway, he...
Mr. Guys.
He was talking about...
Why did he leave Polygon? Polygon's such a good site to work for.
Brian... okay, so basically he was talking about the Cyberpunk 2077 demo that was shown behind closed doors, right? And obviously, a lot of people were mad. Like, hey, why didn't we get the footage? Why didn't you get the footage? So he was talking about the fact that this is his opinion, but I kind of maybe not agree with it, but I see where he's coming from. Basically, he's saying that what's going to happen is, you put the footage out there, right? What's going to happen? People are going to, dissect the fuck out of footage. 3 years down the line, when the game comes out and the game is not what that footage was, they're going to, really dissect it and go crazy. So basically, developers like, let's not deal with these influencer people. Just show it to the journalists and be done with it. Manny, I want your thoughts.
I definitely think that, and this Torrance has even said this before. Yeah. It's like, when you have a lot of people that aren't, who aren't familiar with this sort of environment, I mean, back in the day, you used to be able to go onto the show floor and you'd find, oh, shit, it's a beta for so-and-so game. Now, the thing is, somebody nowadays seeing that who's not familiar with that sort of thing would be like, oh, they had it playable and it totally fucking sucked. Well, it's not a finished game. The thing is, and that's, I think it's CD Projekt Red really trying to control control what it's, what
the narrative
the narrative and control what's being put out there.
Yeah. And it goes back to what we said before. My favorite phrase of the night, it's within their right to do that. And I think it's smart to do that. It's like, because you're going to have these influencer guys, you know what they're going to do. They're going to just do all this kind of nonsense. You're probably not, the game's not going to be in the same state 3 years from now, 4 years from now, whenever fucking comes out as it is now. So
why even do this then?
What do you mean? Because to give us an idea of what the game is. It's like...
not be that thing. They're giving you an idea of what the game may or may not be because it's not far enough in development for them to actually double down and say that this is what the game is. They showed you an idea masquerading as a game that's coming out.
Well, actually, they did show from what I've heard from the people who have experienced...
They showed 50 minutes of this thing.
They showed 50 minutes of actual gameplay.
Okay, so which is it, though? That the game is close enough to being complete and they feel it's good enough to show to...
I think it's close enough to show people something in a controlled situation. And obviously, if it's just sitting out somewhere on the show floor and somebody falls into a fucking floor, they're going to instantly write about that. So I'm thinking they're really just trying to control the narrative at this point in time before they actually reveal something solid, fully solid.
Yeah.
As a rock. Like hype building.
What happened?
I said, just feels like they're hype building. It feels like they didn't have enough to show, but they wanted to make sure that the game stayed in people's minds and that they didn't think it disappeared. So
I have a question.
Like, oh, we have something.
I have a question. I know this is not about video games, but it's kind of related. So when they show movie press, little snippets of movies that aren't finished yet, do you consider that hype building too? Are you against that?
Yeah. No, because they know what the movie is, and they're showing those people snippets of a movie that's actually coming. They're not going to show them scenes that might end up on the cutting room floor.
They do sometimes. They do.
Yeah, remember Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
With that super jump?
Yeah, Dana, you've seen some of these clips before. You cover movies.
To one, and I can say I think I can legally say I've seen Spider-Man. Anyway. So what they do is they show you clips. They show you a lot of concepts. so you get the idea of what they're trying to do with it. Okay, so it may not necessarily be a part of that story, but they're trying to give you what the feel is and what they're trying to do so that when it does come out, you can say like, oh, you know, you can break down the process and have a better understanding with this, which is why I'm kind of okay with them showing behind the scenes work with gaming as well. It helps to formulate an idea of what you can expect, or at least what you think that they're trying to do. Also, I think I had this discussion with Tony. It can backfire terribly as well, where you try to execute something and it comes off terrible. And you've seen in the process and you're like, what exactly happened? And that can change your opinion very drastically as well. I'm kind of for them just showing the press, because like you said, people are going to automatically think that's how something is and how it's going to look like, instead of understanding that this is the spirit and the intention of what they plan on going into.
But isn't that what trailers are for?
No, but the game's still a few years out though, man.
Okay.
No, sure. After you.
Yeah.
After you.
Yeah.
I'll go. It's pretty much they're doing like that game with like people tell each other a message and they do a little chain. It's like
telephone.
Telephone. It's like take it from us. That like take it from someone and then take it that takes it from us. It's like. It's two steps to get the information through,
but that's typical. That's what journalism is, man.
Yeah, but like it's I don't know. If for me, it's like, why give us the blue balls of this game, of actually watching this game, and for having people tell us what they saw? It's like, why don't you just show gameplay footage to everyone when you're ready?
No, I mean, I understand that, but the thing is, like, let's say right now, because again, they're a few years out. What if they have something that doesn't make the cut, right? You know what's going to happen next. These dudes on YouTube are going to make fucking videos all day. They don't want that. Like Manny said, they want to control the message, you know?
By the way, I want to control the message.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Did it ruin Bioshock Infinite?
I don't know. Yeah, kind of a little bit.
In fact, that whole trailer, the whole thing that was supposed to be gameplay that they showed, is not even in the game. And people complained about it.
And by the way, I heard of a
certain other game of a favorite of ours. You know which one I'm going to say. That Watch Dogs thing. They should not have shown that shit.
That Watch Dogs, yeah.
You know? I think stuff like that has made them go, let's hold back a little bit here. You know?
No, I can definitely understand that, because people see stuff that might not end up in the final game, and it's just people are going to criticize it and take them, like, to the bank for that.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, because in my opinion, I think let me take it back. In an ideal world, they would show this. You know, people would be actually, mature about it. It's like, okay, this isn't finished yet. I understand if things are different, but you know how the real world is. People are not like that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the problem here. They should show it. You know, in my opinion, they should show it. But in the real world, they can't, because these fucking idiots are going to just take it and just make up all this crazy shit that CD Projekt Red probably doesn't want to deal with, you know?
Well, even then, though, like, now everybody just thinks that, oh, they have 50 minutes of playable gameplay. Like, this game must be fairly close to being finished if they're showing 50 minutes of demo to journalists behind closed doors. They're like, oh, no, it's still a few years out. Oh, that is unnecessary blue balls. You could just accomplish the
same idea. Is it a few years out?
So yeah, it is. Brett, I see what you're saying, though, with the blue ball stuff, because, you know, people are hyped as fuck, but you also know that this is going to be a massive game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so even if they showed like 50 minutes, there's still a lot more. But by the way, Brett, did you see the subway map for this game? It's crazier than New York. I'm like, So there's a lot of shit in this game, bro. You know?
No, I know. I'm just saying, I think it would have been better. I'm not saying like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. Fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, you know what would work better? A concept trailer. Even just something cinematic. Because, yeah, then when people take it all over the internet and start breaking down, like, here's what we know. Some of the signs are in Japanese, but it takes place in New York, which suggests a blended hybrid environment. Sure, let them go fucking nuts with that shit. Show them very curated content. Even if you don't know what it is, follow that up with concept art. Here's some concept art and some ideas that are going to get you really excited about the things we're going to be implementing into this game. Show the stuff that you know, not what you may or may not change.
I think we're finding a middle ground here. Basically, you could still have the curated, experience for the journalist to report stuff, but just throw a little bone to the public. Just a little something, you know, like you said, the stuff that you know for a fact will not change, even though people are still going to dissect the fuck out of it anyway. You know, I think that could work. Like, give the public a little something. You give the journalist something, you know? Go ahead, Carlos.
Well, and they kind of did that because they showed sort of the concept of the game, or at least the world, in that trailer on the Microsoft press conference. But then it's like, okay, like we understand that this game is far away, so okay, we just got the announcement. But then we keep hearing like, oh, these gaming journalists got 50 minutes of gameplay footage that they saw. I'm like, what? Why? Like, I understand why they don't show it like the regular people, because they're just gonna. Like, gonna hold them accountable to whatever they see till the very end, but showing it to journalists so they could explain to us what they saw. I'm like, what's the point of that?
Hold on, I got a quick question. I need to ask this. Did you also have a problem with this when they used to do it back in the day when gaming magazines were the only thing around? Would you have a problem with that when the gaming journalists got shown a game and they reported to you, because that's what their job is? They're supposed to report to you, dude. You know?
Well, I didn't have an opinion because I didn't read magazines or anything.
But you see where I'm coming from, right? This is the way it's been done for ages, basically.
But that's because the only way video games could reach people's attentions were through magazines and were through those types of curations. Now you can just release a video of a gameplay trailer on YouTube and you're golden. You'll get millions of views within a day.
Yeah, but what if you show something that's not 100% like ready? Actually, let me read some of the comments. This kind of highlights what I've been talking about. So Analog Circle Podcast, what's going on, man? He goes, I remember they caught backlash, they being CD Projekt Red, for downgrading The Witcher 3 once it released. And then Vishal says they deserve that backlash because they downgraded it twice. That's what CD Projekt, I think, is trying to avoid. It's like they don't want any of these like downgraded videos. They don't want any of this stuff. They just want to show the footage to people that they know are not going to do that shit, you know? You know, and here's the thing. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand why they're doing that. You know?
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand that. So just don't show anything to anybody. Why do we need to hear journalists talk about the game when no one else is ready to see it?
Because that's what journalists are supposed to do. That's their job.
They want to throw them a bone.
This circles back actually perfectly into our earlier discussion of...
Ooh, I like that.
The thing that happened, Tony, is that everybody in the industry decided to adopt a new policy that was better for everybody. So instead of hiding behind journalists acting as gatekeepers to information and charging you for the magazines, all of a sudden consumers could get news almost directly or sometimes directly from the publisher. And everybody accepted that. The modern age came in and it revitalized the industry by adopting new politics. Whereas what if there were one company that just refused to do that and only gave information to print? And they made you go out and buy that magazine for $7.99. You'd call that one company that was stopping progress an asshole.
Not really. I wouldn't. I'm not calling CD Projekt Red an asshole. Do it. That's within their right. You know.
No. That's not what I'm saying. My point in how it affects all of this is, yes, this is what happened back in the day, and people didn't complain. But the way that we did things back in the day is not the way that we do things anymore. And that's why people are like, what the fuck, man?
But also, you know, the people who are looking at these things are not necessarily trained people, if you know what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, how would you feel if Death Stranding, The Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima were the only information you got from those games about the gameplay and such were from journalists?
That's the way it's always been. I wouldn't complain. That's the way it's been, bro.
I would, because we're in a new age.
You know how many times, you know how many E3s, and especially in the early E3s, I went to a bunch of them where I didn't get to see the shit that the bigger journalists did. It was annoying, but hey, that's just the way it is, you know?
No, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Well, but CD Projekt Red has kind of proven that's still the way it is.
Back to what we said about games and playing, you know, you just like things old school. You just like when we talked about music and you're like, I don't skip tracks.
I don't think it's about old school.
I don't think in this situation it's a matter of
It's about controlling the narrative.
It's really just about controlling them. That's like, you know, again, it's like, why would you show something that's not totally ready?
Okay, well, they are showing it, but they are showing it.
They're not showing it to the public.
Exactly. Who put a gun to their head and made them show it in the first place? Why?
Because they want it. Because they wanted to show it. Because the thing is, it's point.
And that's our criticism. So you guys, your defense seems to be that they wanted to show something, but they didn't want to take the flack of being held accountable for what they were showing.
Yeah,
so they wanted to have their cake and eat it too, but they couldn't find a good way. To which I mean, tough titties.
Are you just getting all poopy pants because you didn't get to see something?
Well, no, I'm getting all poopy pants because they're not there. They're showing something that clearly either A isn't ready or they're withholding information.
Some people, I mean, what is it? Is it because it's like, is it like the walled garden?
I'm asking, like, were you guys beefing about this when they took all those journalists to the Metal Gear retreat, you know, to show them all this shit? I'm like, well, come on, guys. Like,
I don't trust them. Quite frankly, yeah. I don't trust these people.
Well, not to
when they fly people down.
So, also, let me also add that also some influencers have seen it. Like Young Ye got to see it, and a bunch of other guys that got to see it too. So it wasn't.
Signed them NDAs, baby.
There was a couple of things behind it, but the things that they obviously couldn't take any photos at the time, and a couple of things. They could mostly just talk about it at this point in time.
They probably wine and dine these people. Like
sometimes they fly them out.
That's not true. I got to see a couple of behind closed doors. They didn't give me any fucking food.
In this situation, there was something that actually came that was very cool with this cyberpunk announcement. So every single person, or well, most of the people that got to see it, they got a T-shirt and they got this really cool statue, which you probably seen.
Yo, man, that's a bribe, son.
Talk about influencing.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing, but not everybody even got that.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Analog Circle for the super chat, brother.
Thanks for the
man. He says, "Stay awesome." Thank you. Yeah, well, you stay awesome too.
You
man.
Stay awesome, bro.
Isn't this the equivalent to like walking up to somebody and be like, "Hey, man, I got a delicious pepperoni pizza here, but you can't have any. But don't worry, I'll tell you if it was good or not." Like, the response would generally be, well, fuck you. Why'd you even tell me you had a pizza? I don't fucking care.
But again, that's
pizza's not anticipated.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. You made the pizza anticipated. The fact that you went out and said, we have a bunch of footage. Oh, but you can't see it. That's literally what they did. Like, why not just put together a press package of curated footage that everybody can see and dissect at their leisure? And
they already showed the curated footage.
Yeah, they showed you that trailer at the end of the Xbox.
They showed us a tiny fucking snippet. They showed us the smallest drop and then told us, oh, behind that door, they're drinking gallons.
Also, like, you also didn't bother to decode the messages on there because there was free copies of The Witcher they were giving away.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
You make it sound like I want a free copy of The Witcher.
I think you need The Witcher.
No, Brett tried it already. I mean, it's not his cup of tea.
I've tried all three. Didn't like any of them.
Yo, man, those are your boys right there, though.
And no, girl. I respect the shit out of CD Projekt Red, even though I don't enjoy their games so far. Because they're a damn good developer. They make games that people like. I can tell, even if it's not my cup of tea, that it's incredibly well made. That there's a lot of love and passion put into it. And I can respect that. I can see past my own personal preferences.
Yeah, I know Brett's always giving those guys props, even though he doesn't like their games, which is fine, you know?
Hey, CD Projekt Red, you make great games, but they fucking suck.
No, I didn't. I never said they fucking suck. Like, you make great games. Not my cup of tea, but you make amazing games, and you treat people the way
also,
I think it
is. Network says, but yeah. They suck.
I do need to bring this on. J718 says, Marvel did the same thing with Infinity War last year at D23. They showed footage behind closed doors. Here's the thing. If you show it behind closed doors to the, to journalists, I don't have a problem with that. When you show shit to the public, you know, that's only there, then I'm like, come on, you're already showing it to the regular people. Why not show it to everybody?
Yeah, you know? And also, you also...
But I also can't beef about that because it's supposed to... What happened?
They paid money. So you're gonna get to see stuff that you know, other people are not gonna see. They paid money for it.
The ones that didn't pay money are the journalists. Ironically,
but that's their job.
I got a second date on this one.
Yeah, no, she's 100% right. It's like on the one hand, you could say that, but then it's like they paid money, so they should get an exclusive. You know what I'm saying?
Money, so they get to see something. The press is the one, as you guys said, control. Yes, it controls the narrative. Every time you get a free pass or badge or whatever to go to these events. You're expected to be wined and dined, literally, to write good reviews. Why else? Remember back in the day when E3 used to held Eminem concerts. Are you going to then write a bad review about Call of Duty? No, you're in the mood and you're like, yeah, Eminem, and you're getting free food and everything else. So yeah, in a way, it's a form of bribery. Yep. But also at the same time, the game can really be just that good. It's just you get extra perks as well.
Yeah, and I've known many cases where people do get 180 and they still shit on the game anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. They fuck this shit, you know? Brett, what were you saying, man?
I was just saying that I absolutely agree with Dana and that, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, showing first world premieres or things like that, or, you know, timed exclusive content to people who have paid and traveled to be somewhere. I don't have a problem with a world premiere at Comic-Con. I do have a problem when they block that from everybody else. I do have a problem when that involves journalists or not involved journalists. Like, and I don't buy any of the, well, there's not enough content there. It's not solid enough to, you know, really show to people. Like, I don't generally believe that you should show work until the thing that you show should be the thing that you know is going to make it into the game or is going to make it into the final product. You don't show somebody the strawberries you're putting into the fucking cake if there's not going to be strawberries in the goddamn cake. Unless you're 100% sure there's going to be strawberries in the fucking cake, don't go showing off how bright and shiny the strawberries are.
Then by that very same argument, people should no longer have release dates because games keep getting delayed and delayed. We're still waiting for Crackdown and other games. They shouldn't do that as well.
They shouldn't.
I'm not seeing the correlation. Sure. They should aim to hit their release dates, but I'm also a firm believer of something is done when it's done. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't put things in the game or they should change the game. What I'm saying is at this point, they should have a pretty firm idea about the things that are definitely going to make it in the game and the things that are probably going to make it in the game. And the alternative they could have had is they could have shown us some stuff that is definitely going to make it in the game or shown us stuff they think is going to make it in the game in the context of concept art or concept footage. It really depends on how you frame it. I really don't think that they're sending a mixed message here. By showing the public only a tiny snippet of information, they're making it seem like this game is not done. It's still in its conceptual phases and it's still being built. But at the same time, when they're giving damn near an hour of hands-on time to journalists, it makes it feel like the game's quite a bit more flushed out. So there's a discrepancy in message there that makes the whole thing kind of ring a little weird.
All right. Very interesting. I'm glad I brought this up. And it kind of circled back to our original thing, which is very, very cool. All right. A couple of things. Actually, no, there's no couple of things. We're pretty much done here. Dana, I want to thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
No mercy.
Yeah. Plug your stuff, man. Where can people find you?
You can find me on The Coalition, and yeah, there.
No, you're not on Twitter at all, huh?
Who is this?
Who is that?
Who this?
Yeah, all right, I'll leave it at that, man. Again, people, we're back to our regular schedule Thursdays and Sundays until the end of the year. You already know, man. Throw
to the
down
end
this
of
back.
Time.
Yes. All right, let me pop up that little schedule there. Do we? Yeah, I think we do. Actually, no. Fridays and Saturdays has Riku time right there. You know,
hey man, he's still rocking it with Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Riku likes that game very much.
He's not digging the mini games in that one. He feels like there's a lot of stuff, you know, because he's used to obviously, you know, playing the other games where it's always been about, you know, you have your little battles and you had your, you know, your grinding and your all this stuff. But in that one, there's an abundance of mini games and little side things.
Kind of interesting because when I fully played, because back in the day, I didn't play Final Fantasy, but I just watched Manny play, right? When I fully played the game myself, like I think it was 2008, I loved the fact there were so many mini games. I was like, wow, because, you know, by that point, games had become very streamlined. It's like you're just doing one thing and one thing only. That game had a bunch of crazy shit in it, so I thought that was really cool. But so it's interesting to hear Riku doesn't really like that very much.
He also doesn't like the fact that the camera moves around and a couple of other things. You know, the camera moves around, you know, the cinematic camera during the battle.
I like that. Stuff. That's awesome. But, you know.
So he plays it like in normal mode where it's like everything is like top, like semi top down where you can see all the characters and then the thing. So he's pretty pure about it.
Kyle, everybody that saw Cyberpunk was not paid off. Listen, so let me get this straight. I the only reason I didn't see the demo is because I literally didn't have time. So if I would have went in there and I would have saw the game, then I would automatically would have been paid off. your logic kind of falls apart there, brother. You know, yeah. I wish I got paid off for shit. Your
no,
boy's
it, broke. It, oh. No, it was a very you know, I did attempt to get some time with it, but they were CD Projekt Red was very, very booked, and they were also very, very selective as to who they would bring in there. But they did get, I mean, to be honest, like I feel like all the people that you probably know who has seen it already, you know, Spawn of Me seen it.
Yeah, Powerless Lily, you know,
Paris, like those guys and Gamer paid Tag, off, you know? They've seen it. You know, I think Robert Workman got to see it. So
yeah, I believe he did. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people that we trust that have been on this show have seen it. So I'll listen to them, you know, even though, like I said, personally, I don't really care about the game. I'm just being honest, you know, but whatever. Man.
I think the one thing that obviously gets everybody is, you know, for those who haven't seen it, it's like it's just the big J.J. Abrams mystery box. You know,
check out Yang Ye's video, I guess.
Yeah. Yang has done like 20 videos of that. He even talks with the creator of Cyberpunk because he's actually involved with it too, Mike Pondsmith.
Oh shit! Analog dropping some knowledge right now. Fist of the North Star will be coming on PS4 October 2nd. Let's go.
Yep, I actually played that game at E3. It was very fun.
You played a game at E3?
Yes, I did. Believe it or not, for some reason nobody wanted to play that. The Sega booth was tiny, but nobody seemed to creep their way into playing the Fist of the North Star game.
Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's wrap this up. So, thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Real party people.
Adam Vale.
Lucha Underground is back. Watch an episode.
Oh, shit is back, son.
Yeah, that's my Lucha.
Pull up Robert Rodriguez, man. Get us that sponsorship.
That's what I keep telling. I told Dana we got to call him up. And yeah, and then tomorrow, WrestleCast. Friday Night WrestleCast.
Brian Manjoma.
I can't wait for the remake of The Last Jedi, because we all know that that's going to be good.
And Dana Abercrombie.
Thanks, guys. Rest in peace to Vader.
Yes, yes. Rest in peace to Vader, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Later.